talk about how to be twice dead while you're physically alive. You've probably never had anyone say that to you before. Many people are taught that the second death in the book of Revelation is a second physical death, after a physical resurrection out of a physical grave, when the physical body is cast into a physical lake of fire. Now, if you are taught that understanding, ask your teachers, why are all these physical bodies going to be recreated just to be burned up again in a literal fire? It's good to ask questions. As Jesus said, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Compare their answer with what I'm about to tell you. Choose which teaching you want to mix your faith with. There's one scripture in the Bible that actually refers to people as twice dead. There are four scriptures that refer to the second death. So let's take those in the order in which they appear and let the Bible interpret itself. So let's go to Jude 12 and 13. These are spots in your feasts of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. The people that Jude is referring to are ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. They speak evil of those things which they know not. It was some false prophets he'd referred to earlier in that book. These ungodly men are here called spots, clouds, without water, trees, without fruit, raging waves, wandering stars. These two verses paint quite a picture. They give us many keys. This picture language is used consistently by God throughout the Bible, regardless of what a prophet or minister he worked through. Everybody in the world knows what a spot on a clean garment is, what clouds, trees, waves, and stars are. It doesn't take a college education. It doesn't take a seminary degree. It doesn't take an intensive course in history and foreign language to understand these pictures. They're simple. A child could understand them. Let's focus on the trees. Jude referred to the people as trees. Jesus also referred to people as trees in Matthew 12:33. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt. A tree is known by his fruits. John the Baptist referred to people as trees in Matthew 3:10. Now also the axe is laid under the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. He wasn't talking about an orchard. He was talking about the people that were not moving on with God. Paul also referred to people as trees in Romans chapter 11, verses 17 and 18. He said, if some of the branches were broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, wert grafted in among them. So he was talking to the Gentiles, calling them a wild olive tree. The Old Testament also has numerous references to people as trees. Those are all keys. The fruit of the trees here in Jude is withering. Well, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. It tells us that in Galatians 5:22. So for instance, their love is waxing cold, as we read in Matthew 24:12. Their joy is being taken away from them, as an opposite to John 16:22. And they have no peace, as we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:3. They're becoming barren and unfruitful in the knowledge of God, as we read in 2 Peter 1st chapter. And these trees are twice dead. Jude says these ungodly men were twice dead and yet physically alive, right there among the believers. Since we know that no natural tree can die and be replanted and then live again, we have to ask the Bible a really big question. How can people be twice dead while they're physically alive? The answer requires us to look at the different kinds of dead that are mentioned in God's textbook, the Bible. Paul said, you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. These people were still alive physically, but they'd been dead spiritually in trespasses and sins. Paul also said, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. This is the same kind of dead in sin that Paul referred to in Ephesians. Jesus said, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. Now there's no way for physically dead people to bury other people that are physically dead. Jesus was referring to people who were dead spiritually in trespasses and sins. He was saying they could take care of the carnal matters of the day. So one kind of dead that's used in the Bible is spiritually dead in trespasses and sins while someone is still physically alive. So another kind of a dead. It's called dead to sin. I'm going to go through Romans chapter 6 and pick out certain key phrases that show being dead to sin. Paul said, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" A little later, Paul said, "Our old man is crucified with him that the body of sin, that would be evil thoughts and feelings, could be destroyed." He went on to say, "If we be dead with Christ," which is the same as being dead to sin, and it says of Christ that he died unto sin once. And it says that we can reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. So with all of these phrases, Paul was saying that the power of grace was available for people to cast out all of their sins, which would be evil thoughts and feelings, from their mind. Sin would not be able to take their life any longer. They could become dead to sin. That was the second kind of death that's mentioned in the Scripture. The third kind of death in the Scripture is physically dead. Now, this kind of dead doesn't tell us the condition of the soul. Just because the physical body dies doesn't necessarily mean that the soul has perished. If souls have sought after God and worked their faith with whatever truth was available to them, then those individuals are either remembered by God in a sleep condition, or they're living eternally with God as one of His holy angels. If people have not sought after God, if they have not worked their faith in the truths available to them, then the soul perishes when the physical body dies. If people have not had a chance to seek after God, perhaps due to early death or mental handicap, God remembers them and He will give them an opportunity at another time to hear His truth. Then they'll need to make a choice. We usually call people dead after they've been alive. You're not dead first and then become alive. Our first life is when we're conceived in our mother's womb and we have the potential of living 70 to 80 years. God is the one that gives life to all things. That life that He gives is called the breath of life in Genesis 2:7. But this breath of life or spirit of life, it's not eternal. It's only temporary, 70 to 80 years in the case of humankind. Now, according to 1 Corinthians 15:53, we are born mortal. Mortal means we're subject to death. We're also born corruptible, which means what we have in our mind is able to become corrupted. It's not born corrupted, but it can become corrupted by words and thoughts that enter into our minds. To get eternal life, we have to seek after immortality by patient continuance and well-doing, as it says in Romans 2:7. So, during this temporary time, this 70 to 80 years after we're physically born, sin conceives in our minds. That is our first death. It's a spiritual death. We have now become dead in trespasses and sins. Since all have sinned, as we read in Romans 3:23, all have died in trespasses and sins. Now, it doesn't say that all were physically dead. It means all were spiritually dead because all had sinned. The Old Covenant depth of spirit couldn't free people from sin. It didn't have the power to do so. It could minimize sin by telling them what sin was and what to substitute for it, but it couldn't remove the evil thoughts and feelings from their mind. It took the New Covenant depth of spirit to be able to cast sin out of people's minds and make them perfect. Read in Hebrews 9:14 and 10:22 about this New Covenant depth of spirit. When the New Covenant depth of spirit is available, people are given the opportunity to get eternal life grown within their minds. This also means that they are forced to make a choice as to how to die their second spiritual death. There's a choice. They can either use the grace and truth to crucify their old man body of sins, in which case they become dead to sin. Or they can choose to reject the grace and truth and become dead in sin again. Either way, it's the second death, and they could be twice dead in sin. In John 5:24, 25, and 29, Jesus said that people were passing from death to life by hearing His words and believing in God that sent Him. He said that they were in graves, that means they were already dead in sin, but they could live or get eternal life by hearing the word of the Son of God. As they resurrected, passed from death unto life, they had a big choice to make. If they chose to do good, which would mean to crucify their old man body of sins, then they, the soul, would continue to live eternally. But if they chose evil, which means they decided to keep their own old man ideas and opinions, the resurrection that they started into would be a resurrection to damnation. They would now be twice dead and plucked up by the roots. This twice dead condition would be due to willing sins, because they were getting the knowledge of the truth that could free them from sin, but they were refusing to put it into practice in their lives. So now let's take that and go to the book of Revelation. Revelation 2:11 says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." This becomes easy to understand now that we know the different kinds of death mentioned in the Scriptures. The one overcoming is overcoming sin by putting grace and truth to work in his life. He is crucifying his old man. This kind of second death doesn't hurt him. It frees him from hurt. He was born alive, his first life. Sin entered in, his first death. After deeper word and spirit is presented to him, and he crucifies his old man, he can become dead to sin. Or he might choose to keep his old man and be dead in sin. But either way, a second death occurs. Revelation 20, verse 6. "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Again, the understanding flows pretty clearly. When one resurrects from dead in sin to alive in God, he'll not be hurt of the second death. It will not have power over him because he'll have power over it. He'll be using that power of grace to overpower the enemy. The enemy is the devil that causes people to be dead in sin. As an overcomer, he's a worker for God and for Christ in serving out this grace and truth to others in whatever creative day depth they need. Revelation 20, verse 14, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. The death that's destroyed is the dead in sin's condition of the mind. The same with hell. It's hell condition within the mind that's cast into the lake of fire, God's truth. Fire is consistently used in the Bible to represent the Word of God. Many keys show us that, such as Jeremiah 23:29, Matthew 3:11, and many, many others. It's no different here. When Christ was physically on earth in his ministry, he was the only flame of fire, the only one that had the depth of truth to bring them to life and to get them out of the tormented hell condition that they were in. But he prepared 120 disciples with the same depth of truth. They became, let's say, a pond of fire. As the ministry grew, it became a lake of fire, a many-membered body full of God's truth about what sin was and how to get rid of it. God once again has a pond that's growing. All those that want to get out of the dead in sin, fearful condition of their soul, can now do it. Even if they don't want to be free within their minds, they'll still be hearing the truth of God and will be forced to make a choice for good or for evil. They'll either crucify their old man and become dead to sin, or keep their old man and be dead in sin. So, Revelation 21:8, "The fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers, whoremongers, and so forth, shall have their part in the lake of fire which burn with fire, and this is the second death." Just as the devil and beast, false prophet, were cast into the lake of fire, God's truth, they will be destroyed because they rejected it within their own mind. Everyone in the world will come face to face with the truth of God presented by his latter rain ministry. They will then have a choice to make. Either stay dead in sin and become twice dead, or become dead to sin and alive in God.